Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's good to see all the seats filled. We've been sitting all in the center group and the sides are open. It's kind of like everybody came in and let their wings rest on the sides. It's been enjoyable. Really appreciate the opportunity to come and share and visit. This morning, I bring you greetings from our headquarters in Washington, Adventist World Radio, AWR, and it is on the move. I don't know if you follow it. How many receive anything from AWR? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I was in the publishing work for 15 years. And I thought that was the end-all, be-all, to get the books in the home. And then we get introduced to AWR, and wow, it just like it exploded, all of the conversions and baptism. Let me throw out some numbers to you. In Mindanao, Philippines, 5,749 people baptized. Say amen to that, huh?
Amen.
Well, let's go to Zambia. 17,968 people baptized. What an organization. What a work God is doing through it. How many here today believe in evangelism? Amen. How many here today, if given the opportunity and the call, would go out yourself and do evangelism? We got a few. I'll see you guys later. Yes, sir. The Lord's got an opening. Today, when we here in North America do evangelism, we cannot follow AWR's motto, no walls, no borders, and no limits. They can go where no human being can go. I'm going to show you a little clip here in a moment, but I just want to give you a little preliminary to it. These are the preachers for AWR. Can you see this? Neat little radio. It's a quad-powered radio. What does quad mean?
Four.
That's right. AC, DC, then you got solar power. And if all else fails, you pull out the crank. No reason that anybody has to miss the gospel. But that's our green preacher. And he's not green because he doesn't know his message. Anyone know what this is called? This is a God pod. It is not a radio, even though it looks like it on the front. All of those buttons have numbers on them, and you push a number, and there's music. Push another one, and somebody's reading the Bible to you in your own language. You push another button, and you're getting a health message. You push another button, and it's talking about family life. All pre-recorded, and they can't change it, and this too is solar powered, as well as plug-in. God needs you in evangelism. If you cannot go out on your own and meet all these criterias, I remember the last time I did an evangelistic series out in Montana, Kalispell. At the end of Main Street, they have a fairgrounds there. And in the fairgrounds, they got a lot of buildings, and they're not always being used. And I was in between series. So I went in and I said, I would like to rent one of your buildings big enough to put up my model of the sanctuary. Now, I have a larger one than this. It's life size. And I don't carry it much anymore because it's bigger than one man. And I can tell you experiences with that. But I asked them, can I put this up? They said, well, for a price. And they gave me the price. And I said, okay, I agree to that. So I set it up in their cafeteria because that was the warmest building and it had the most free room. So I put out the word. I put out newspaper advertisements and I put signs on the fence around the fairgrounds. Daily tours of the tabernacle. Most everybody knows tabernacle and not sanctuary so much. So folks began to come. One day it was kind of slow, and this one man walked in, and he had, I think they're called iPads. They're some kind of computer outfit. And he said, can I take pictures? I said, absolutely, take all you want. And so he did. He started going around. Everything he saw, he wanted a picture of it. When he got done taking pictures, he came back to me and he says, now, would you mind to go around again and every picture I've taken, you tell me what does that mean? What is it about? I said, sure, let's go. So we went around and I talked. I didn't realize then he was recording me, that this machine not only took pictures, it took voices. And so when we finished, he looked me in the face and he kind of smiled. He says, maybe I ought to tell you who I am. I said, all right, go for it. He says, I'm the senior pastor of this big Baptist church here in town. And I am teaching my congregation about the sanctuary, and you just gave me all my notes. So the Lord was good. But what has that got to do with AWR? Well, when AWR called us to represent them, I have two conferences, Kentucky 10 and Gulf States, so that we're sitting in the middle up there in Dayton, Tennessee. So we look out the window. If it's snowing, we head south. If it's nice, we head north. It's kind of neat. But when they called, I said, well, brethren, you know, I give sanctuary seminars all over North America, into Canada. We've been to every state but one, and that's Alaska. And I carry around my passport all the time so that I can get through Canada and get to Alaska if they call. I would love to go up there. So if you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, tell them, get acquainted with me. I want to come. And so we are, as I was talking to them and told them what I did, I says, how would that fit with AWR, sanctuary and AWR? It doesn't sound too compatible. They said, well, we've never done it. We'll talk about it. The next day they called up. And Elder Wilson told them to tell me, we not only invite you to do it, we implore you to continue on with your sanctuary ministry together with AWR. What a miracle! Because we are an independent ministry, self-supporting, and we are supportive ministry for the church. We don't take tithes, and we don't call people out. We are supportive of it. And so they put us to work, and it's been a wonderful marriage between AWR and this work. So it doubled the workload. We were kind of talking about a little bit of retirement. I don't know exactly how you do retirement, but and I'm not interested, so don't come up and give me all kinds of ideas because I love what I'm doing. Just celebrated my 79th birthday a few weeks ago on Sabbath, and on that day I gave 4 sermons because we have to keep up with our schedule. So God's been blessing. So I'm telling you this to get you encouraged to do evangelism. And if you can't, or you don't like all these regulations you have to put up with in the United States, then I would suggest that you hire one of my 2 friends. Okay? This one takes $40 to sponsor him. And he can go all over the world. And you're going to see it. Way over in Nepal. Do you know anything about Nepal? I don't think there's a flat piece of ground in Nepal from what I see. All those mountains up and down. But the gospel is going over the mountains and down into those homes, doing a wonderful job. And our little God pod, I love that name, God pod. And the message goes out pre-recorded, so nobody can take this one and change the messages. It's locked in. 18,000 hours in that little box. And so if you want to sponsor one of these 2 preachers, then put it in an envelope and mark it AWR. You can either hand it to me or you can put it in the offering plate and the church will send it on in to Washington and it'll do its work. All right. My wife tells me there are envelopes on the table. My wife, Joyce, stand up so they know who they're dealing with. Yes. Yeah, you got to have a right-hand man. Behind every man, there's a driver.
I was wondering how much the God cost.
$40 also.
Both
40. Yes. But no insurance for them, no retirement fund for them. Once you pay it, you got it paid. Unless, not long ago, there was a Sabbath school class out in Nampa, Idaho. Do you know anything about Nampa, Idaho? Yeah, Pacific Press? Yes. And so a Sabbath school class of young people were trying to figure out what kind of project can we do. We not only provide radios and God pods, but we also provide Bibles in the local languages. And they got excited about sponsoring Bibles. And so they started raising money, selling cookies, and having all kinds of sales for a class, one of the school classes. And they raised enough to send cases of Bibles overseas. So I would encourage that kind of activity right here in Tullahoma. Let the world know that you care about them. We got a lot going on here, that's true. But I read something interesting this week that just kind of stuck with me. The poor is God's legacy he's giving to his church. The poor is our legacy. Let's not let it down. Amen? But for those of you who would like to go out and witness, who would like to go into ministry, or for those home folks who want to speak to your neighbor, I would like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. And I want to show you something. I want to challenge you from God's word. If somebody would unplug that clock, I'd appreciate that too. Man. I don't like it with real numbers up there. I'd rather see an arm going because then I can doubt it. Yeah. Revelation chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 10. Revelation 10:10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, in my belly it was what? Do you know what this verse is talking about? This is talking about October 22, 1844, specifically. What was the little book that John the Revelator took out of the angel's hand? The book of Daniel. What part of Daniel were they focusing on? The what? Yeah, end time. Daniel 8:14, 2300-day prophecy. And why was it sweet in their mouth? Very soon. Very soon. I used to carry around a prayer that was prayed one Sunday in a church. And they were praising God and they said, on Tuesday, the Lord is going to come. And we're so anxious to meet him. If you could say that honestly in your heart, that this coming Tuesday, you were going to see Jesus coming in the clouds, would it be exciting to you? Sweet in the mouth? But they went through that day and into the night, and he didn't come. They had me up there directing the work at Hiram Edson's farm. Anybody here familiar with Hiram Edson? All right. I'm going to have a movie on him tonight. At the end of the afternoon class. 30-minute film, Meet Hiram Edson. If it was not for Hiram Edson, you would not be sitting where you're sitting today. That's how important he is. And was. So I had the privilege of living on his farm for 6 months, directing the work up there just a little east of Rochester, New York. But when they saw that he didn't come, they wept. Now, Hiram and a group of people at his house, they went out into Hiram's barn, into the granary, shut the door, and wept and prayed, and some fell asleep all night long. But it was a terrible experience. Now, since that moment, God has given us a mandate. Is a mandate optional? It's absolute. Amen? All right, here's the mandate, verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must, there's the mandate, you must, it's not optional, you must prophesy again. Now, prophesy carries many meanings. It's not just foretelling future events, it's also speaking for God. You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Wow. There it is. Every single one of us are under that mandate. That is God ordained. You and I are God pods, if you would, please. Now, what are we going to speak about? What's the message that we're mandated to give? Go down to 11, verse 1. Remember when they wrote the Bible, there weren't chapters. There weren't verses. Why do you think it's called the Word of God, because it was one word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. One word. Well, somebody did us a favor and broke it down. And there was given me, verse 1, Revelation 11, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, we would call them a yardstick, a measuring tape. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure or study the what? The temple of God. Where are we going to find the temple of God, which we know as the sanctuary? Is there one on earth? No. In heaven. In heaven. And God said, there's your message. You don't have any other purpose. You don't have any other message. Every doctrine that this church believes comes out of this sanctuary. Up there at Hiram Edson's farm, when God spoke to them out there in the granary, he promised through the Holy Spirit, I will show you in due time what happened yesterday on October 22. I always tell folks, the most important date for Seventh-day Adventists is not October 22. It's actually October 23. Because then Hiram Edson and Brother Crozier went walking through the grain field, and Hiram was taken into the heavenly sanctuary, like Stephen, like John. All the time I was up there, one of my duties was to mow that 17-acre place. And while I'm out there on that riding mower, I was telling the Lord, Lord, anytime you want to take me into heaven to show me, I'm ready to go. But he kept my feet on the ground. But there it was. This message of the heavenly sanctuary. That's what we are all about. Read it in Great Controversy 488. Without studying and knowing the sanctuary, you are not even going to have faith enough to stand through the time of trouble and the second coming of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, when he cometh, will he find what? Faith. You're going to get your faith out of studying the sanctuary. The sanctuary message is the outpouring of the latter rain to God's people. Will anybody go to heaven without the latter rain? No. And he says, this is it. We need to know it. It needs to know us. And so, as we study this sanctuary, we are told that we are to measure, and that means study carefully. I'm the son of a carpenter. I just so happen to work for a carpenter also. His name is Jesus. But my father was a carpenter, and we didn't live with him long enough for me to learn about good carpenter work. So I'm an eyeball carpenter. That means if you ask me to build you a chair, you're going to have four legs of different sizes so you can tilt any way you want. That is not what he is talking about here. He's talking about study carefully. Know the details. Don't let anything slide by you. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Very important. So you're going to measure the temple and the altar and them that worship therein. But now watch verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, do what with it? Leave it out. Don't study people. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. He doesn't want us studying what's down here. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And so, as we go through the days until Jesus comes, remember, if you would like to be a part of 17,000 baptism at one time, I don't know how long it took them, but I'm sure somebody brought their lunch, and or 5,000 in another area, then you write to AWR and you tell them, I want to be a part of this. I don't want to miss out on it. I can't go out and preach, but I can sure support your preachers, even if they are green. They're going to do a good job. This has shortwave radio on it, too, so they can get it anywhere they want. And I want to show you now a clip.
Greetings from the island of Mindoro here in the Philippines. The big question is, how can we train, equip, and excite Japanese pastors to preach evangelistic series in their own country next year? The answer is here in the Philippines, the Mindoro for Christ event.
Adventist World Radio's goal was to ignite both Japan and the Philippines at the same time with the fire of evangelism. Could this be done simultaneously? Most thought it wouldn't work, but Adventist World Radio, AWR, moved forward in faith.
This island is one of the most promising in all of the Philippines. Oriental Mindoro is home to over 800,000 people, most of whom make their living by fishing along the coast or farming in the rice fields. The mountains are full of countless unreached villages, but that is all about to change because of what God is about to do through Adventist World Radio.
3 months ago, AWR started broadcasting that we were going to be holding evangelistic series, Mindoro for Christ.
The people that came to do those evangelistic series were mostly Japanese pastors. Most of them had never preached a series before.
It was almost to be a field school of evangelism for Maranatha, Japan, 2018.
Well, in doing this, laymen got involved and began broadcasting every day, 9 radio stations, 4 people each, so 36 laymen.
These are local lay people who have an interest in sharing Jesus. They volunteer their time, they go into the studios, and they talk for 2 hours.
These laymen began broadcasting, but after 3 weeks of not having a single response, they became discouraged. They began to doubt the effectiveness of the radio.
They wondered if anyone was even listening. There was no response from the listeners, and they wondered, is this even working?
He decided to have a Bible question of the day.
The question of the day, I think, is the most brilliant idea. The day before, they would have a sermon like on the state of the dead. What happens to you when you die? The next day, then, that would be the question of the day. Where do you go when you die? And the first 5 people who would call in would get a special gift.
Either a cell phone with recorded programs on it, a little radio, a Steps to Christ. As the listeners called in and they had contact with them, they would actually go to those villages and meet those people personally. This is dedication. This is people that are not being paid to do this, but people that love the Lord and are doing whatever they can to draw someone to Christ.
One day while here in Mindoro, we visited the 6-day store.
It's run by two Adventist ladies. They're open 6 days a week. They're closed on Sabbath.
This mother-daughter duo decided to take their little radio, set it out in front of their store.
And it wasn't long before people from the mountains started coming down. I know there was some that were walking 1 hour every day to come down just to listen to the radio. The music started coming on, and all of a sudden, everybody's clapping and wondered, did someone prompt them to clap just because we're there? But no. They clap every single day when that music comes on because they're so excited about the broadcast.
The year was 1977. We were missionaries in Zaire in the Congo, living on the mission station in the Kasai. I was on safari in Dikesi. I was at the village of Nkokoloka and went to Nkokoswe. The next morning when I woke up, a lady knocked on my door. Her name was Bertha. She said, "Pastor, will you baptize me?" I said, "Sure, Bertha, I'll baptize you. But why would you walk 20 miles all night long to be baptized?" She says something I'll never forget. She said, "Pastor McKee, I am so sick and tired of this old world. I want to go home and see Jesus." I thought I would never see that kind of a desire to be baptized, that excitement again in my ministry, my life. But it happened. It has happened right now here in the Philippines. A group of people, 25 of them, walked out of the mountains, across jungles and rivers and streams, to be baptized. 12 of them were baptized. It was so exciting. They walked not 20 miles, but 48 miles. It was thrilling, unbelievable to baptize these people. They had so much excitement and desire to see Jesus. We are experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here on this island.
Success here, but we never imagined we would have the success that we are having here today. Some of these Japanese pastors, their entire lives, they baptize one or maybe two people a year, and to be here and all of a sudden have this mass baptism where they're baptizing 25, 30 people, it will change their lives forever, and they're going to take that fire and they're going to go back to Japan.
To see that person come up out of the water with such joy on their face, there's nothing like that. And you times that by 1,400, that's what the Sabbath was like.
As a result of AWR's ministry in Mindoro, today we are baptizing more than 1,400 people.
I thought before that radio would not work here in Mindoro. Now, I believe that God is still working radio to reach people and to prepare people for His kingdom.
Thank you so much for your support of Adventist World Radio, whose Bible programs penetrate all countries and through all walls, know no borders. Thank you for your prayers and for your support, which make all this possible. May God bless you.
These miracles are not from our grandparents' old mission storybooks. No, this is happening now. We are reaching the final chapters in Earth's history, and God's Spirit is being poured out all over this world. It's time to take our listeners from broadcast to baptism. This is AWR 360.
You want to be a part of it? You got the opportunity today and every day till Jesus comes. But what an experience. And what a responsibility for us. We were mandated, but God made the mandate so much fun that we can enjoy following orders from heaven. So as you leave today, you can leave with your offering in a tithe envelope marked AWR, or you can pick up an envelope at the table out there. And by the way, everything is free on the table. Please, we don't need to take it home. We've read it once. We don't need to read it twice. So just take it home with you, because they're going to ship a bunch more to us soon. And I look forward to the day that we all can meet in heaven. And here's this flock of people from all around the world. And they're coming up and they're telling you and they're telling me, it's because of you that I am here. And you're going to say, I never met you. I didn't know you. And they're going to say, you're right. But AWR found us, and it was through your support they were able to do it. So may God bless us as we go forward. Now, we're going to respond with closing hymn, but I want to share with you, there's going to be a special offering right at the end. So we'll sing and then we'll sit down while the offering plates are passed. If you want to put your AWR offering in there for us to send back to Washington, that's fine. Go ahead and mark it. We do not get paid. We're volunteers for Adventist World Radio. We don't get paid by offerings. But there's also in that same offering collection, there is the opportunity to support Sanctuary Classes International, which is our worldwide ministry, my wife and my own, on our own. And we support folks all over the country. I got a call from Shreveport, Louisiana this week. Can you teach me? Well, we're trying to figure out how we can do it, how we can teach people. Because folks look at me and they hear my age and they say, what are you going to do when you're off the scene? I said, I don't know, pray more, because I haven't been able to take anybody out and train them to take my place doing these sanctuary seminars. So we're going to start looking seriously at what we can do to start training people. And we have material here that will be available tonight, and it's a syllabus. When I was teaching college Bible, they asked me to teach last day events. And I said, well, you know, all I teach is sanctuary. I said, where's the book, Sanctuary and Last Day Events? They said, we don't know that there is one. I said, well, by God's grace, when school starts, there will be one. And I wrote it. I've changed the title now to the Journey of the Cross, but it's the same book. And if you get that book, I automatically email you 25 free lessons on the sanctuary, all the scriptures. And so you might want to avail yourself of some of that material. But we're going to try to do more. And I had to get a printer so I could bring the printing home, because having it done out in a shop, pretty expensive business. So we're doing it, the printer's in the trailer. As we travel, we're printing. So anyway, those are two opportunities today. You let the Holy Spirit guide you.